Medical aid in dying becomes law in Hawaii on January 1st, designated as the Our Care, Our Choice Act. Opponents fought hard against it, and for Kat West, National Director of Policy and Programs for Compassion and Choices Hawaii, the passage of the bill is only the beginning of a public education program.
Medical aid in dying will go into effect on January 1st, 2019. Mm-hmm. So we have about 8 months to get ready for a successful implementation, because we know that on January 1st, there will be terminally ill people asking their doctors for a prescription for medical aid in dying. And we want to make sure that we have successfully implemented the law so that these people aren't disappointed, and they're asking because they really need it. And so we need to educate communities so they understand their rights under the law, and we need to educate providers so that they're able to honor their patients' wishes.
What does the law state?
Sure. So medical aid in dying says that only eligible people are able to make a request for a prescription. A person must be an adult. They must be terminally ill. They must have a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. And they must be mentally capable of making their own healthcare decisions. And if two doctors certify that a person is eligible, then they have to go through a process. They need to make two oral requests. They need to make a written request. And then they are able to obtain a prescription for medical aid in dying that they can choose to take if their suffering becomes unbearable.
I would think that in the discussions leading up to the passage of this bill that the phrase capable of making the decision was one that hit a snag. I mean, who decides that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there was a lot of discussion around it. Luckily, the answer is pretty simple. Every day, doctors make these decisions. In fact, doctors are experts at deciding whether somebody is mentally capable of mm-hmm. making healthcare decisions. They have to be, because they have to get informed consent for mm-hmm. any medical treatment or procedure. Mm-hmm. So every day, for small matters and for matters that are life and death, they are making these decisions.
The choices, the new legislation has sometimes been characterized as assisted suicide. What are your objections to that term?
Well, language is important. Language matters. And when opponents, people who don't believe that anybody should have this option, when they use language like that, it's deliberately hurtful, it's deliberately harmful, and it's offensive. It's offensive to dying patients who desperately want to live, but they have a disease that's not going to allow that. And so these patients, they just want to have this option. They want to have the prescription on file with a pharmacy, so if their pain or their suffering becomes unbearable, they can shorten what would otherwise be a really prolonged suffering experience. And so it is really painful for patients and their families to have it characterized as anything other than medical aid in dying.
In the course of advancing this bill, you've heard a great many arguments against it. What kind of arguments did you hear, and how did you respond to them?
Sure. Well, the two main arguments that we heard in Hawaii, the first was religious, moral objection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how we always respond and how our supporters respond is, that's fine. If you have a specific moral objection to medical aid in dying, then don't choose it. By no means is this anything other than voluntary. Mm-hmm. But don't force your own morals on other people. Other people don't necessarily believe that suffering is redemptive and suffering is a good thing. So everyone should be allowed to make their own choices. The second argument that we heard was that vulnerable populations would be coerced. That's what we were. That's what opponents said. They would be coerced into taking the medication, and we were very clear that that is not what the facts show. That's not what the evidence shows. 20 years of experience in Oregon, there has never been not one single instance of any coercion or abuse In fact, Disability Rights Oregon, which is the advocate for the disabled community in Oregon, has testified that they have never received a complaint from any of their members in Oregon in 20 years. The process to get a prescription is actually quite long, quite complicated, and there's so many core safeguards in place that it is virtually impossible for someone to be coerced. And so it has never happened in the combined 40 years of experience across all the authorized states.
In going back to that first set of objections that you cited, you sort of got an idea that's kind of at the center maybe of our Puritan ethic in America, that we are redeemed by suffering. Is that sort of a bedrock notion of opponents to this bill?
Yeah, sadly, it is. Every time that medical aid in dying is introduced into legislation, in fact, this year, I think there were 23 states that introduced legislation around medical aid in dying, opponents always come out and try to make the argument that suffering is good, and people who want to avoid suffering are somehow, are somehow weak. Yeah, that's great. And you know, I don't buy that. I don't think most people buy that. What I would say to that person is, okay, the next time you go to a dentist, don't take Novocaine. You know, like if there's no reason why people should have to suffer. What we should be doing as a society is being compassionate, not trying to make people suffer.
I'm guessing that your volunteer group and others has gathered a great deal of testimony from people who are in this situation, who are candidates for medical aid in dying.
Yeah. We work with dying patients. We work with their families. They reach out to us for support, and it's by far the best part of what we do is providing these families support, and they are so grateful when a state passes a law. And in Hawaii, I just want to call out one particular person that we're working with, John Radcliffe. And he's been, you know, in the media, he's been
sure.
in the news. And he and his family are very grateful to the residents of Hawaii and to the courage of the legislators and to the governor for making this option available.
He's really been a tireless advocate, hasn't he?
He's amazing. And, you know, he has limited energy and he has limited time. And, of course, he's spending a lot of that with his family, but he's also spending a lot of it making sure that this law is going to be available to other terminally ill people as well.
What's the place of the family in this decision? Suppose you want to bring this about and your family does not. What kind of weight is given to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I can tell you is that most people who make a request for medical aid in dying bring their family into the discussion and the decision. They often bring their spiritual advisors mm-hmm. into the discussion as well, as well as their medical team. And people who do obtain a prescription often have the most touching and heartfelt going away ceremonies if they choose to take the prescription. Not everyone does. Mm-hmm. About a third of people don't actually end up taking the medication because their suffering never becomes unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that do have these amazing going away parties. And it is a party. It's a celebration of their family and their friends. But in the rare instance where a family, maybe they're you know, religiously based and they wouldn't agree, the patient does not have to get the permission of anyone,
mm-hmm.
including their family. This is all about patient autonomy and, you know, patients should be able to make healthcare decisions on their own. So if a patient chose not to tell their family because their family would object, that's okay. And that's what the law states.
The whole subject of dying is this kind of subject that seems to derail everyone who comes into contact with it. It's the big unknown, isn't it?
Yeah. Americans, our culture, does not deal with death and dying very well.
You think more so in American culture than in others?
Well, I think it's different across cultures, but some cultures are much more comfortable with the notions of the cycle of life. You know, it's interesting. When I do some presentations across the community, I will sometimes ask, how many people know that they're going to die in this room? And it takes a while for everyone to put their hands up, believe it or not. It's just something that I think...
We push away from our consciousness, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, I understand it, but it's a reality. And having this option for people who are in that situation where they have 6 months or less to live, it's a blessing for them.
Kat West is the National Director of Policy and Programs for Compassion and Choices Hawaii. The Our Care, Our Choice Act goes into effect on January 1st, 2019. You can learn more on our Facebook page, The Conversation.